Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Thompson, for organizing this event. And thank you, Brother Justin, and all of the members of Sure Foundation Baptist Church for coming out here. And I know a lot of other people have also come out here from other churches. There's a lot of people here that came from Steadfast, and I really appreciate you guys coming out here. And I guess we're trying to start a fire, so just don't tell the fire marshal, all right? It's great to be out here and to see on a Friday night people still want to hear the Word of God being preached. And really, when I think about it, the most important thing I could preach on is loving God. And when asked what was the great commandment in the Bible, what is the first commandment? Jesus said in verse 30, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." There's only one group of people on this planet that will love God. It is the saved. If we don't love God, who will? Will you love God tonight? Will you turn in the pages of divine scripture this evening? The Bible that contains your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will you love God after this sermon? Will you love God when you lay down in bed tonight? Will you love God tomorrow? Will you love God by preaching the gospel to the lost? Will you love God when Sunday comes? Will we find you in church? Will you love God in the morning? Will you read your Bible? Will you pray? Will you seek His face? Does your heart love God? Does your soul love God? Does your mind love God? Are you putting all of your strength into loving God? Go to Matthew 6. The Bible says in 1 John 2, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." What do you love tonight? Do you love basketball? Do you love football? Do you love baseball? Where is your heart at? What have you set your affections on? The Bible says to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. Maybe you don't have your affections on games, but where is your mind at? Are you thinking about Christ? Matthew 6, verse 24, the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Are you thinking about money? How you can make more? Your next promotion? That next car? That next house? Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Here's a question I have for you tonight. Who are you tonight? Are you Demas? When the Bible says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Who are you tonight? Are you the seed among thorns, which the Bible says that he heareth the word, but the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful? Who are you tonight? Are you Esau, who is so hard up for money that he sold his birthright for one morsel of meat? Are you the rich man in James chapter number 5, who had heaped treasure together for the last days. The Bible says, behold, the hire of the laborers who you have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he hath not resist you. Matthew 6, verse 21, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do we not have enough rich men in this world? What would another rich man do to this planet's success? Are you trying to be another rich man, thinking that that will make a change in this world? Jesus said a parable. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to dispose my goods? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Are you a member of the Laodicean church that says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Are you the godly man? The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 12, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. The Bible says, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. Set not your heart upon them. The Bible says, when riches increase, set not your heart upon them. How many people are setting their heart today on riches? Who are you tonight? Are you Solomon? Who the Bible says about Solomon that he had horses brought out of Egypt. And in fact, he had received 666 talents of gold in 1 year. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. The Bible says that his wives turned away his heart. Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Who are you tonight? Do you love God? Do you love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, with all of thy heart, with all of thy mind, with all of thy strength? What are you putting your effort and your energy towards? So many men today are putting their heart and their effort and their energy towards making money, towards becoming rich, towards having goods. What will that do for you? What will that do for the men in this city? What will that do for the kingdom of God? What will that do for the cause of Christ? God doesn't need your money. Men today, they're chasing money. Why? Because money answers all problems. Money answers everything in this world. Why do men want money? One reason is to have women. And many men have their hearts set on women. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7, and I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. Someone that's foolish, they don't understand this world. The Bible says in verse 21, talking about him meeting this whorish woman, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, his heart was destroyed through women. His heart was destroyed through money. He had a heart for God, but he allowed money and he allowed women and he allowed the things of this world to enter in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Who are you tonight? Who do you love tonight? What are you chasing tonight? Are you the simple one? Are you the young man void of understanding? Samson loved many strange women as well, and it destroyed him. You know, it's important to go to church to be warned of fornication. It's important to go to church to be warned against adultery. It's important to go to church to be warned against the love and the lust of this world. It's important to go to church so that you can get your heart on the thing that matters, and that thing that matters is God. We go to church to love God. And you know what I love about going to church? It's the closest that I'm going to get on this side of heaven of having fellowship with God. The Bible says that men were made in the image of God, and that if we truly love God, that we would love our brethren, that we'd love mankind. Go over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The Bible says, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he gives us the opportunity to have the church. The church was purchased with his own blood. If we really love God, then we'll love the institution that was bought by God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the New Testament church. And a church is not a building. Jesus Christ did not die for this building tonight. Jesus Christ died for the men and the women and the children sitting in this room that have put their trust in him. And not only them, he died for the sins of the whole world. But specifically, he died for the church. He died for this institution, for us to be gathered together and for us to demonstrate our love towards God by loving one another. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? If you don't love the people in this room, let me explain something to you. You don't love God. Those who love God are those who love their brother. And love is not just merely reciprocating good for good. Love is reciprocating good for evil. It's reciprocating sweet for bitter. It's giving grace. It's being long-suffering. It's being charitable. It's being kind. It's being peaceable. When you can't be peaceable with your brethren, you don't really love God. Look at verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Let me explain how you can love your brother. It's when you get on your knees and you beg God to be merciful unto your brother's transgressions. It's when you intercede for your brethren. Instead of looking at a fellow brother in Christ and wishing him evil, hoping that God will punish him, hoping he gets what he deserves, hoping that God will recompense all the evil he's done unto you, the Bible teaches that to love God would be to intercede for your brother. Not to wish evil upon him, not to wish bad upon him. When someone does you wrong, to wish them good, to ask God to give them mercy and grace. Look at 1 John 5, verse 14. This is love. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life, for them that sin not unto death, There is a sin unto death. I do not say he shall pray for it. How many prayers are being made by Baptists and brethren today for the sins of death? Sins for people that shouldn't even be asked for. But rather, we should be focusing in on the sins that are not unto death. We heard it mentioned earlier. It's uncanny that Baptist churches will separate from a man, Pastor Stephen Anderson, and they won't pray for his good, but they'll pray for literal God-hating sodomites. For people that hate God and despise the Lord, well, let's pray for them, but let's not pray for a brother in Christ who believes the gospel. You know, we don't want to be guilty of the same attitude and the same hatred for God and for his people by despising our brethren because they do us wrong. Personally, I don't believe Pastor Anderson has done wrong to many of these people that speak evil of him. But even if they did, you know what? Why don't you pray for your brother? Why don't you have mercy towards your brother? Why don't you have charity towards your brother? And if another church does us wrong, if another church speaks evil of us, why don't we pray for their good? If you tell me that you love God and you can't love your brother whom you've seen, you're a liar. Do you really love the Lord thy God with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength? But you curse your brethren. The Bible says that Job lost all of his sheep, all of his cattle, all of his goods, all of his money. All his money just torched overnight. The Bible says that Job lost all 10 of his children, which is really easy to skip over for a moment. But let's think about this. He had 10 children. He lost the oldest child that he had. My oldest is Clayton. He lost the second oldest child. My second oldest is Jackson. He lost the third oldest child that he had. Mine is Abby. He lost the fourth oldest child that he had. Mine is James. He lost the fifth oldest child that he had. Mine is Ellie. He lost the sixth of his children. Mine is Adeline. I only have six children. I can't even imagine the sadness and the grief that I would have for losing any one of them, let alone all of them. But Job lost the seventh. I'm sure he had a name, or she had a name. He lost the eighth. He lost the ninth. He lost the tenth. Job was stripped of all of his glory. Job lost all of his brethren. Job lost his position. Job lost his status. Job lost his favor with God. Job lost his very friends. And when all hope was gone, when he had no desire to live, when he was in excruciating pain, when he had suffered the loss of all things, after he had been mocked by his closest friends, his own wife held him in contempt, when he couldn't be any more alone, Job prayed for his friends. What excuse do you have to not pray for your brethren when Job can pray for his brethren? Just like Christ, who condescended of men of low estate. Just like Christ, who put on mortality and was stripped of all of his riches and was stripped of all his magnificent glory and excellence. Just like Christ, who suffered shame and the mockery and the embarrassment of the cross. Just like Christ, who suffered the whips. He suffered the crown of thorns, bearing his own cross, the nail in his left hand and in his right hand, the piercing of the flesh of his feet. When he's hung dying in extreme agony, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But how many of us have the same attitude towards our brethren in the flesh when they do us wrong? When was the last time you've been crucified by your brethren? When was the last time you were hanging on a cross and they wagged their head at you and mocked you and railed on you and you said, "Father, forgive them"? The Bible says that we would be known by our love. Do we really see that amongst Baptists? Do we see that amongst brethren? Do we have this extreme charity and love that's exhibited by Job, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Apostle Paul? And really, is it not just a reproach upon us to show that we don't really love God when we're not loving our brethren? We're not praying for our brethren. We're not seeking forgiveness and grace for our brethren. The Bible says in Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. At the end of the parable, Jesus Christ says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Are you praying for your brethren? You tell me that you love God. Are you praying for your brethren? Are you praying for your enemies? Are you loving your enemies? The Bible says we love our brother when we love God and we keep his commandments. Do you keep the commandments? Well, you don't love God if you don't. Do you lie about your brethren? Do you rail on your brethren? Do you steal from your brethren? Do you gossip about your brethren? Do you hold bitterness in your heart towards your brethren? What is bitterness? Bitterness is holding on to the grievances that they've caused you. Bitterness means that they have hurt you. They've done you wrong. They've done evil unto you. They're guilty. They have transgressed. But you're holding on to it. Do you really love God when you're holding on to the bitterness towards your brethren? Do you really love God when you speak evil of your brethren? Do you really love God when you lie about your brethren? We only have one life to live in this world. Why wouldn't we want to do something big for God? You tell me that you love God. You tell me that you love your brethren. But only you know right now if you love him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Do you love God? Do you love the Lord thy God? It's easy to say, I love God. It's hard to pray for your brethren when they transgress against you. It's hard to keep God's commandments. It's not easy to follow the commandments. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16, the Bible says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us that we should redeem the time. Take the opportunities that we have and use them to the max, to the fullest. We only have one life. Time goes by so quickly. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God today and not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is personified here with drunkenness. How many people are wasting their time and their effort and their energy getting drunk today? And then they tell you that they love God. Foolishness. Nonsense. When you drink, you forget the time. The time passes quickly. What do people do when they get drunk? Sin. They don't love God. They're not going to church. They're not reading their Bible. They're not singing praises unto God when they get drunk. Don't tell me that you like to drink alcohol and that you love God. You're a liar. Well, but everybody drinks. Well, guess what? Not everybody loves God. Say, which commandments do I need to keep? All of them. Do you dress like you love God? Do you wear the clothing that honors God or honors this world? So many women today, they're so afraid to dress like a godly woman It just proves that they don't really love God if they choose to dress like the world. There's so much pressure on men and women today when it comes to commandments. But if you really love God, you're going to do what he said. And it shows that you love the brethren. How do women dress today? They dress like whores. That's not loving God. They dress like men. No one wants to see that. Men are ugly. Dress like a lady. Dress like a godly woman. But it's not loving your brethren. Don't dress like Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton doesn't even want to be with that. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to love God. And one of the ways to do this is by singing praises unto God. Think how much time and effort and energy people put into singing. Most people, when they sing, especially in the shower, they do it with all their strength. They do it with all their might. In fact, most songs today are sung, especially when we talk about men, they sing in their head voice or in their higher range. And in order to get those high notes, you have to sing with all of your effort and energy. In order to reach that pitch, in order to reach that note, you have to put all this effort and strength and energy and use all of your diaphragm to really belt out that note. And we have people singing all day long praises unto themselves, praises unto this world, praises unto drinking alcohol, praises unto fornication, praises unto the pride of this life. But the Bible says that those who love God are going to sing praises unto God. What better is there to sing than the love of God? The Bible says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, notice this word, in your heart to the Lord. Does your heart love the Lord thy God, or does your heart love the music of this world? What are you singing today? Michael Jackson? Are you singing Endless Love by Diana Ross and Mr. Ritchie? Why not Can It Be? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? That's love to sing about. That's the endless love we should be belting out. Are you singing Celine Dion? When she sings, you have to admit it. It sounds like she's putting in all of her effort. It sounds like she's putting in all of her energy. Singing great love songs and great love ballads. Why not? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Are you singing Mariah Carey? The Beastie Boys, NSYNC, Faggoty Queer Band, Backstreet Boys, it's more like Broke Backstreet Boys. Say, well, I'm depressed, I'm in a bad mood. Okay, well, why don't you sing Love Lifted Me? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. You notice things that? The person that loves God. The person that recognizes the only real love in this world, which is the Lord thy God. The Bible says that God is love. What's the greatest thing you could ever sing? Well, how about I love to tell the story? I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Do you love to tell the story? Are you going out there and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you be a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you love to tell the story over and over to the poor kids in the ghetto that no one loves? Will you go out into the streets, into the highways, into the hedges? Will you go into the ghettos where children don't even speak English? Those of you that speak a second language, will you preach in Spanish? Will you preach in other languages, in Hindi, in Mandarin, in Russian, in all the languages of the world? Will you love the children of this world and preach them the gospel? You tell me that you love God, but where are you on Saturday morning? Where are you at the soul-winning time? Where are you at the soul-winning marathon? But you don't understand, Pastor Shelley. The Indiana Pacers are in the playoffs. Well, we know what you love. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Shelley. My favorite band's coming in for a concert. Your honky-tonk red ass need to get out there and preach the gospel. We know what you love. Go to Psalm 119. You don't understand, Pastor Shelley. I don't know how to do it. Well, it sounds like you don't love the Lord thy God. Because if you're saved and you love the Lord thy God, and if you follow Jesus Christ, He said He'll make you a fisher of men. With stammering lips and another tongue will He speak unto this people. Psalm 119, look at verse 9. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Why is the psalmist not wanting to sin against God? It's because he loves God. You say, I struggle with sin. How do I fix it, Pastor Shelley? You need to love God more. Say, how do I love God more? Go to church. How do I love God more? Read your Bible. How do I love God more? Memorize the scripture. How do I love God more? Pray for your brethren. How do I love God more? Go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I love God more? Sing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs. And then come and tell me what your problem is. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Shelley. I went with my friends to the bar, and I went out drinking, and I met all kinds of girls. And I'm sorry, but I went out and I went to the basketball game after that. And then I went to work to make more money, and I'm struggling with sin. Well, I know why. It's because you don't love the Lord thy God. Why weren't you in church? Why weren't you reading your Bible? Why weren't you singing the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs? Why weren't you going out and preaching the gospel? Why weren't you busy filling yourself with the Spirit of God? It sounds like you're drunk on this world. It sounds like you're drunk on the lust of the flesh and the pride of the life that you want here. Don't be Demas. How are you going to cleanse your way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What is the solution? It's the Bible. What is the solution? It's church. Don't tell me you love God and don't come to church. Look at verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. We love God by loving his commandments. And not just Leviticus 20:13. Every straight guy loves that verse. Well, I could get up and scream and yell, and all the guys would be saying, amen! Put the faggots to death! Then it's like, avoid whores. And they're like, ah, what? Read your Bible. Love your enemies. Visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction. Keep yourself unspotted from this world. Don't touch alcohol. Work hard. Serve in your church. Be a nobody in your church and serve. Well, I don't want to do that. I just want to hear about fags getting shot in the head. By our government, I would never condone murder. No, we love all of the commandments of God. Tell me about how the Jews are terrible. How about how you're terrible? How about your problems? How about your sin? How about your issues? Because you know what? I don't expect an unsaved dog to clean himself up. You know what? I expect a son of God to actually behave himself in the house of God in church. Why don't you love your brethren? Oh, I can't love them because they're Zionists. Well, love them anyways. I can't love them because they're pre-trib. Love them anyways. I can't love them because they're not good at soul winning. Love them anyways. We shouldn't just love the brethren that we like. We should love the brethren that we don't like. Because we love God when we love the brethren. Look at verse 48. My hands also I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Show me you love God by memorizing his word. By meditating on his word. You see, I struggle with my thoughts, Pastor Shelley. I struggle when I get alone. Well, here's a solution. Meditate on his word. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind. All of thy mind. Verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. Notice this. All the day. Well, I really like meditating on the word during a sermon. How about after the sermon? How about in the morning? How about at lunch? How about at night? How about in the car? Here's a way to pass your time on your long commute. Memorize scripture. I can't just think about that. What does the Bible say in 113? I hate vain thoughts. But you understand, Pastor Shelley, I love the daydream about being a professional basketball player on the way to work. But you're not. You suck. You can't even dunk. You're white. You can't jump. At least us as being white, we have an excuse. If you're black and you can't dunk, I wouldn't even want to admit that. I hate vain thoughts. Yeah, of course, I could sit here and dream about how my life could be different. I could dream about being rich. I could dream about being a professional athlete. I could dream about being 6'5", and I'd still be shorter than Pastor Thompson. I could dream about changing all of my worldly, carnal interests. But you know what the Bible says? I hate vain thoughts. Why? But thy law do I love. Because I love God. Sin starts with the mind. 119, the Bible says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. I can't wait for all the wicked to be put away. 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. What do you wish to have today? Do you wish to have all the riches of this world? Do you wish, I wish I had bought Bitcoin back in the day. I wish I had bought more real estate back in the day. I wish I had invested back in the day in an unknown company named Apple or Amazon. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I love thy commandments above gold. Men of this world are chasing gold. They're chasing money. They're chasing riches. But we should chase the Lord thy God. We should chase his commandments. We should love God. Look at 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Here's a great benefit to loving God. He gives you more mercy. What's the first commandment? To love the Lord thy God. What's the great commandment? To love the Lord thy God. Let me explain. Not only do you love God by loving the brethren, you know how you love God? By loving this book. This is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is God. And you love God by loving this, by loving the Bible, by loving the Word of God, by letting it communicate to you and talk to you and heal you and fix you. Psalm 119, verse 140, the Bible says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. You know why I love the King James Bible? Because it's very pure. You know why I don't like the NIV? Because it's not pure. You know why I don't like the modern versions today? Because it's not pure. I love water, but I don't like it when it's not pure. You know what? Men like their wives to be pure. What makes something special and precious is that it's pure. And you know what makes the King James Bible special and precious? It's that it's pure. The Bible says in Psalm 119, look at verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Notice that this person is asking God to consider how much he loves God. How would you like for God to grade you right now on how much you love him? How would you do if God judged you right now and he says, I'm going to judge you on how much your soul loves me right now? How would you do if God judged your heart on how much your heart loves God? If God were to judge you right now on your mind and the thoughts that you have and the thoughts that you entertain and the thoughts that you act on, how would God judge your mind? If God were to measure all the strength and all the power and all the effort and all the energy that you have and he were to say, how much of that are you putting towards loving God? How would you do? Because the psalmist is saying, consider how I love thy precepts. Do you love his precepts? 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. The worst person besides God to lie to is to lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself this evening. Where are you at? Where is your soul at? Where is your heart at? Where is your mind at? The only people that will ever love God are the saved. You are the opportunity for someone to love God. And he's such a great God to be loved. And if it's not you, who is going to love God? Who is going to think about God? Who is going to pour out their heart to God? Who is going to pour out their soul to God? Who is going to take all the strength that God gave them and put it all into God? We have men today that are putting all of their strength into basketball. They're putting all their strength into golf. They're putting all their strength into football. There are men today putting all their strength and to be crowned the MMA world champion fighter. There are men today striving to put all of their effort and their energy to put a man on the planet Mars. What a waste of time, effort, energy, and money. There are men today putting all their effort and their energy into rebuilding the Antichrist temple. There are people today putting all their money, effort, and energy to building riches, to building a 401k, to building their farm, to building their personal life. What if you decided, I'm going to put all of my strength into loving God? I'm going to go to church with all of my might. I'm going to read the Bible with the strength that I have. I'm going to memorize it. I'm going to teach it to my children. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to love to tell the story to the lost every single day, the rest of my life. I'm going to redeem the time and I'm going to love God. Amen. 165, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Offend is meaning that you would be so sensitive and you would transgress God's commandments. You would cause something that I say, oh, I love alcohol, I can't do that. And you decide to just veer off and go to alcohol. Go to the whores of this world. Go to the games of this world for children. Desire riches and money and fame and wealth and pleasure and the lust of this world and the pride of life and the deceitfulness of riches. You'd be offended by God's word. You're offended by saying, I don't really want to love God. I don't want to love people that don't love me. You know what the Bible says? Great peace have they which love thy law. 167, the Bible says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. The psalmist is trying to give you the prescription to loving God today. I don't care if you never become a pastor, you can love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I don't care if you're not a man, if you're a woman, you can love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I don't care if you're not an adult tonight. If you're a child, you can love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The only person stopping you is you. We need to be a generation of Christians. We need to be a generation of Baptists that love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need to encourage one another. We need to go to church to provoke one another unto love and to good works. To provoke unto love and good works. There's so many today forsaking church. They're forsaking the Bible. They're forsaking preaching the gospel today. And you, by demonstrating your love towards God, can motivate other Christians to love God. When you love God, others will love God with you. When you forsake God like Peter and say, I go a-fishing, you drag other people down with you. I would love to say, at the end of my life, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. At the end of your life, what will you say? I loved money. I loved fornication. I loved alcohol. You know people that that would be their testimony. I loved myself. I loved being lazy. I loved the Cowboys. I loved the Bears. No one loves the Bears. I'm just kidding. Duh, Bears. What do you love? Who do you love? If you don't love God, no one will. If we don't decide to love God, no one will. We have the greatest opportunity to love the greatest God that could ever exist, the Lord thy God, who's done everything for us. And he gives us an opportunity every day, every moment to love him. Don't allow a sermon to come into your eyes and your ears and your heart and do nothing with it. If you say, I don't love the Lord thy God the way I should, make a change tonight. Make a change right now. Decide to love the Lord thy God now. And never stop loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift that you've given us of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being so gracious and kind and merciful unto us. Thank you for being such a great God. I pray that you would help motivate our minds and our soul and our hearts and all the strength that we have to be turned back to you, to love you more, to demonstrate our love towards our brethren, towards the lost and dying world. I pray that you would help us to see the importance of keeping thy commandments. I pray that you would empower our new man to walk in newness of life and to have a desire to truly love you. I pray that you would just motivate the men and the women in this room and the children to love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.